It's time for us to talk technical analysis here on Money Life. And today, well, our guest is making his first appearance on the show. And I'm always telling you, you hear somebody, you see something someplace else that you think could do well with the Money Life treatment, let me know and we'll see if we can get them on the show. And this was an audience member's suggestion, which was great. It came from Morris in Bradenton, Florida, who had read something about Tom McClellan, who is the editor of the McClellan Market Report. If you want to learn more about what he does, if you want to learn more about the McClellan Oscillator, it's mcoscillator.com. Mick Oscillator. Yeah, that's how even Tom told me how to think about it. You can get more information there, but right now we're going to get our information straight from Tom McClellan. Tom, thanks for joining me on Money Life.
Good day, Chuck.
Are you taking steps toward planning your financial future? A deferred tax annuity from Gainbridge may be a great building block for your budding retirement portfolio. Learn how annuities through Gainbridge protect your savings while also delivering guaranteed returns. Visit Gainbridge.life today. Tom, it's our first time having you on the show. You seem to be a little more circumspect about the market right now than others have been, and you've been that way for a while. When everybody else is saying they think this can continue, you know, we're going to keep flirting with record highs, that doesn't seem to be where you're at. So where exactly are you?
Well, I haven't been that way for a very long time. Turned bearish beginning in November and looking for not a great year this year, not a horrible year. Horrible is coming, but not for a while. Horrible is going to come in 2024, starting about summertime that year. But until then, we're going to chop sideways. You can make money in a sideways market, but you can't make money the same way you do in an up market. In a sideways market, you have to buy low and sell high repeatedly in order to get in the edge. So it's time to change out of your tennis shoes and put on your track shoes.
I want to get more on that, but first, what's going to cause or create horrible market since you feel confident that one is coming?
I'm going to address your question, but I need to set the terms of it. There is what is the actual cause and what will be the cause cited in the media, and those are quite often different things.
Yes, they are.
The thing that people should understand about the overall stock market in terms of what makes it move, there's only two fundamentals that matter. You can forget earnings and dividend yield and book value. You forget all that stuff for the overall market. The only two factors that matter are, number one, how much money is there? And number two, how much does that money want to be invested? And if you change either of those two, then you move the entire market. Well, the Fed has been changing number one ever since before the COVID crash, pumping a bunch of QE4 into the market, and it's worked. It's pushed the market up to huge valuations that everybody knows about. Valuations are not a very good timing tool. They are a condition, not a signal. And so, yes, just because the PE and Shiller's CAPE ratio is up at 40, that doesn't mean that the market has to start down just because we notice that it's expensive. But it is going to matter at some point. And so we try to look at the indicators and the signs that are going to give us answers about when it matters, as opposed to what everybody else is watching. Because if you look at what everybody else is watching, you don't get an edge.
Define horrible. Is horrible a bear market? Is horrible a crash?
Okay. Again, we're getting into definitions of terms. A bear market is a long, grinding period of declining values. A crash tends to be more focused into a short amount of time. 1987 was a great example of a crash. Didn't lead to a continuing bear market, unlike the one in 1929. We can have many crashes along the way. There was a great one in October 1997. The stock market dropped 10% in a day, and the circuit breakers were tripped. So that was an example of a crash. But again, that didn't lead to a bear market. Bear market, people get so confused because they listen to CNBC and they think, oh, a bear market, that means he's saying 20%. Not necessarily. You know, if you have a two-year decline and you only go down 15%, well, you wouldn't want to participate in that, even if it didn't go to 20%. So people get hung up on these poor definitions of what is a correction, what is a bear market, and to their detriment. So I tend not to go toward using those terms just because people get confused by them.
I was just more trying to get a definition for horrible. Because I know some people would consider a 10% decline to be horrible. And as you point out, yeah, if it's 15, it may not be horrible. It may not meet the definition of a bear market, but nobody's really going, yeah, let me ride this down further.
Yeah, and those definitions came from a guy named Alan Shaw, who used to work at running technical analysis at Smith Barney, and he'd be advising his brokerage team, all his retail brokers, about what he was seeing in the charts and what he was expecting, and they'd come back at him and it's like, Alan, we don't understand what you mean by correction, and what do you mean by bear market? What are you talking about? And so he said, well, just to give you some understanding of the magnitude, if I'm talking about a correction, I'm talking about a move that's likely to go about 10%. And if I'm talking about a bear market, that's a move that is likely to go around 20%, just as a rough gauge. And so then CNBC took that and said, whoa, now we're in official correction territory. Well, it's just a ridiculous idea, because every 20% decline that you ever see is first a 10% decline. And it was a bear market the whole time, regardless of what you thought at every moment. You just didn't know it. So those are not terms that are particularly useful. They don't help you decide what to do. So I just tend not to get into them. I'm looking for a big, ugly down decline in 2024, the kind that you wouldn't want to have your portfolio participate in.
That answers it for us. So let's now turn this back to where you said we're going to wind up seeing not necessarily an ugly year this year, just a year that's not necessarily as good, with a little bit more volatility and a lot more up and down, where, as you pointed out, repeatedly buying low, selling high is going to be the way that you're supposed to be doing it. Is it we're just going to be bouncing between support and resistance, or is there more to it that's going to determine?
There's more to it, and the Fed is probably going to get stupid and magnify it and make it worse than it would have needed to be. And so if you ever want to question whether the Fed's going to do the right thing or screw it up, it's a much better bet that they're going to screw it up. We're looking at a sharp decline right now that's already getting underway this week, the first week of January, due to continue at a slower pace all the way until the first week of April. So, but the initial decline is going to be the worst part, and then we just slide slightly slower downward into April, and then we get a chance for a rally attempt that I don't know the magnitude of because I can't see that far out on my radar. But generally, that's going to be in the context of a sideways market until about mid-2024. And you're probably wondering how I know that.
Yes.
So one of the great discoveries that I've done in looking at charts every day for the last 26 years is that I found that the movements of the stock market tend to echo the movements of crude oil prices with a lag time of about 10 years. Now, I don't know why that happens, and it doesn't really even matter to solving the question of why. If it's working ever since 1896 when the Dow Industrials was first created and it's still working today, then you start giving up on answering the why and say, okay, it's probably real. And so I wouldn't say that crude oil causes the stock market to do that. I would say that it's not about causation, it's about indication. And for whatever reason, the movements of crude oil prices tend to show up again about 10 years later in the movements of the stock market. So if you take yourself back to the 2010s, we had a big rally in oil prices coming out of the 2009 crash bottom. Crude oil had, in the commodities bubble of 2008, had gotten all the way up to 145, and then it dropped all the way down to 37, and then it rebounded nicely all the way until about 2011. And so 10 years later is 2021. And that big, nice price rebound from 2009 to 2011, the echo of that is what we have seen in the last few years in the stock market. Crude oil prices then transitioned to a more sideways period from 2011 to 2014. And so the echo of that sideways period in oil prices is what we have coming up on the player piano here for the stock market. Crude oil prices really started to crash in 2014 when the fracking boom was getting going, and OPEC decided they were no longer willing to fight against the fracking boom by restricting their own production, and so oil prices started coming down. So the echo of that ugly 2014 oil price decline is what we have coming up in 2024 for the stock market.
Quickly, because we're almost out of time, as much as you are expecting a downturn and in the immediate short term, and then, as you pointed out, that opportunity going back and forth, riding the wave of volatility this year, what will be the signal that makes you say, okay, now it's time to get out? Because you're not saying get out now. You're saying be careful now and make sure you're investing differently to make money in these conditions. What's it going to take for you to say, okay, there's your sign, time to go?
Well, I've already said that it's time to get out for my subscribers, and they've known that it was coming for months. There's one other leading indication that we use from the Commitment of Traders report. We look at the Fed funds futures, and we look at the positioning of the commercial traders, and they give us about a five-month leading indication of what the stock market's going to do. And it said top in mid-November. Well, the NASDAQ topped in mid-November. The New York Composite topped in mid-November. Other indices did. The Russell 2000 topped long before then. The S&P 500 has skewed things a little bit by continuing higher, riding the coattails of Apple a little bit higher in ways that the other indices have not. But we're already in the middle of the downturn since November on the advanced decline line and so many other indices, and that's likely to continue until around the first week of April. I've already told my subscribers that I'm bearish for short, intermediate, and long-term trading perspectives, and what they do is up to them.
Tom, really interesting. A great debut. I hope it's not the only time. I hope you come back and chat with us again down the line.
Sounds like fun.
That's Tom McClellan, everybody. And yeah, great suggestion from you guys. You know how to suggest more, but if you want to get more information from him, want to be one of his subscribers, well, it's the McClellan Market Report. MCOscillator.com is the website. On Twitter, at McClellanOSC. Well, this was fun, but we're heading for home, and there's more fun to come. Up next, my friend, Helene Olin. She's writer with the Washington Post. We're going to be talking about, can you tell the difference between sponsored content and not? You probably want to these days, and we'll help you with that next.